good. Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. And He is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And the devil does not want anyone to believe it. And he is doing all he can to X Jesus out of everything that we do, and X God out of our lives, X God out of our country, X God out of everything, and really trying to X God out of church. And he's done a good job of that in many churches, believe it or not. And praise the Lord, just really, really good singing, and what a blessing. In Ezekiel chapter 22, we have a familiar verse, verse 30. I want to talk to you about that, of course, being Father's Day and then also in between Bible schools, just, I think, a timely message entitled Stand in the Gap. And the Cook Ensemble, of course, they said it when they sang it, Stand for Jesus. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Well, that's a sad, sad ending of that verse, isn't it? I found none. He said, I sought for a man, who will make up the hedge, stand in the gap. But he said, I found none. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Please speak to our hearts, call our attention to this passage, and challenge us with it. Help us to stand in the gap. God, help us to stand in the gap for some young people this week. Help teachers, helpers, workers, verse hearers. Every person's important. Nursery workers, everybody's important. A bus worker, it's all important. Help us to stand in the gap. Help dads to stand in the gap for their family. Help moms to stand in the gap. I pray, God, that we'll stand in the gap. We'll make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Job, you don't need to turn there, but you'll recall how when Satan appeared before God, of course, God challenged Satan, really, and said, consider my servant Job. But Satan had a complaint, and he said this. He said, well, you've put a hedge around Job. Now, a hedge in the Bible would be a hedge of protection. And a hedge often would be around a sheepfold where the sheep would be safe so that other animals, it'd be a very thick hedge of brush and bushes and that. And it would be a safe area inside that hedge where the sheep could be safe. And Satan is making reference to that about Job. He said, well, you've literally put him in the middle of a hedge, and you've surrounded him with a hedge of protection. Often when I pray that God put a hedge of protection around somebody, thus protecting them from attacks and all of that. And that is what's being referred to in the book of Job, this hedge of protection. And of course, as I mentioned, in the Old Testament and New Testament time, it would be a protection, a sheepfold that would be surrounded by a hedge. It would protect from the wolves and the other animals that would try to get to the sheep, a wind, a storm. It would be a barrier of protection for those sheep. And I believe that is the reference here in the book of Ezekiel. God is saying that he's making reference to this hedge. But he talks about a gap. Sometimes in the Bible, the word breach will be used, and it's a break in a hedge or maybe a wall or something like that. It would be a break, for example, for a door to be. And wherever the door to the sheepfold would be, there would have to be a break there. There would be no hedge. There would be nothing there. But there would be a place for the shepherd, or a place, as referred to in Ezekiel, for a man to stand and literally to stand guard. And that's what he's talking about in verse 30 here. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. In other words, surrounding the land, which is what he's referring to, he's saying there's a hedge of protection around the land, but there is a gap in that hedge, and he's saying, I need a man that'll stand in that gap. I mean, everybody is protected except for that area. And he says, where there's that gap, where there's that breach, he says, I just need somebody to stand there. Do you understand that that hedge, that gap, is only so wide? And yet, what a difference. What a difference that makes. As a wolf is trying to come through that gap. As a lion, perhaps, or a bear, or some other wild animal, a fox, is trying to come through that gap. What a difference. That gap that is only so big, what a difference it makes. How easily the animals of prey could get in and take the sheep if no one stands in that gap. Such a simple thing. Such a simple thing as work in a nursery. It's a simple thing as just knocking on somebody's door. It's a simple thing as driving a bus, as giving out a flyer, as handing out tracts. It often is not a big thing. God has a hedge and there is the protection, but there's that gap. And he says, who's going to stand in that gap? Who's going to be the final protection, if you will? And the difference between a sheep being stolen, taken, and one receiving protection. Who will stand in the gap? I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, because the hedge is complete except for that one area. And that's that area. That's your area. Hey, Dad, that's your area in your home. Church member, that's your area at Berean Baptist Church. It's not a big area necessarily, but it's a very, very important area, because it's a place where God has provided everything else. It's just, if you'll stand in that gap, if you'll just make up that hedge. But in Ezekiel, the Bible says, I found none. Number one, I want you to see the seeking. The seeking. He said, I sought for a man. You know, God always does the seeking. God always does the seeking. He said, I, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He always does the seeking. He sought you for salvation. I know we have the idea that we did all the seeking, and years ago there was the popular I found him thing, but the truth of the matter is, he found you. He does the seeking. And you'll notice here that it's not an animal that he's looking for, or even an angel to stand in that gap. He's looking for a man among them. Not any man, a person that is a child of God, a man among them. He said, I need a saved man. I need someone who's trusted Christ. I need someone who loves me. I need someone, like I preached this morning, someone that fears the Lord. I need a person like that who will stand in that gap. We can't have a traitor in that gap. We can't have someone who's half in and half out. We have to have someone who is willing to stand in that gap. It's got to be a man from among them. It's got to be someone who's saved. God always does the seeking. God's seeking people all the time to stand in the gap. He can and He will only use a Christian man. He can't use anything else. We can't, you know, God's army can't be can't recruit lost people. We recruit them to get saved, but they can't stand in the gap. The Bible says that they're enemies of God. We need Christian men. We need Christian dads to stand in the gap. We need Christian men here in our church to stand in the gap. I like the story of Gypsy Smith. After a revival one time, a little girl came running up to him and gave him a little piece of candy. And he said, honey, why did you give me that candy? And she said, because last week my dad got saved, and all last week he's not been drunk anymore. Amen. You know, we need somebody to stand in the gap. The seeking. Number two, we see the standing. As the cooks, I heard them practice this song, but I hadn't thought about it until they were up here singing tonight, how it goes so well with the message. Stand for Jesus. The standing. Because, okay, here's the hedge, and the hedge is solid. And it's safe all around that hedge except one spot, and that's the gap. And that hedge that God has provided, it is a wonderful, solid hedge of protection. But there's a gap, and somebody has got to stand there. I'm reminded of Ephesians 6:13, where it says, having done all, you do everything you can, having done all, to stand. Just stand. Do everything you can, and when you can't do anything else, stand. And we need some folks who simply will stand in that gap. You stand in the gap When you'll come out and you'll patrol the hallways during vacation Bible school, that's standing in the gap. You're standing in the gap when you ride a bus and go around and you pick up 120 young people and bring them to Bible school. That's standing. You stand in the gap when you work back in the 2 and 3 year old. And by the way, Jenny Kish spent all day yesterday, as far as I could tell, pretty much all day yesterday decorating for 2 and 3 year olds. Are you listening? You're standing in the gap when you're working with the 4 and 5 year olds, and when you're teaching a class, and when you're helping in a class, and when you listen to them give their verses. And oh, how precious it is when a young person can quote Scripture and the first time in their life they recite a verse of God's holy word and they say it and they say, "Did I get it right?" What a blessing. If you're not interested in standing in that gap tonight, then my friend, you, something's wrong with you, because somebody has got to stand. Who will stand in the gap? What father will stand in the gap for his family? What father? I mean, God has a hedge of protection and He's protecting, but somebody is needed in that gap, because the wolves are trying to get in, the foxes are trying to sneak in, and those that would destroy the sheep are trying to get in. I wrote out a little acrostic of the word stand. Number one, or the first word, is of course S for sacrifice. To stand in the gap is to sacrifice. No question about that. Why? Because in the gap is not necessarily our own thing. Hello? How many times do I hear it? Well, I just want to do my own thing. Hey, in the gap may not be your own thing. In the gap may not have been what you planned. In the gap may not have been, you know, may not be the most fun thing. In fact, I submit to you tonight that in the gap is probably not a very wonderful place, because it's in the gap. Because you are the wall between the wolf and the sheep. You are the wall between the bear and the sheep. You stand in the gap and the wind blows and the lightning flashes across the sky and hailstones pound upon you, and you just stand in that gap. Why? Because what's inside is precious. And all hell will attack and will throw everything it can at that area of the hedge, because that is the vulnerable area, and you stand in the gap. Oh, it happens all the time this year. Troubles, problems, people having different things happen. Why? Because the devil hates Vacation Bible School. He hates the fair ministry. But somebody has to stand in the gap. In the gap, sacrifice is involved. In the gap is a place of sacrifice. That's why it's a man that has to make up that part of the hedge. It's a man that has to, a person, a human being, a saved person, that has to make up part of the hedge and stand in the gap. The wind blows, the wolves come, the storms, the serpents, all of that, and standing in that gap is the only protection for those precious sheep that are being protected. I've got news for you. It's a tough place. It's a sacrifice. Running a bus is a sacrifice. Going week after week, as the Baileys have done, and knocking on doors. And how many riders do you have signed up? Registered, but throughout the week there'll probably be that many. But that's standing in the gap, because one gets saved, it's worth everything. One's life gets changed, and it's worth everything. But it's a tough place, standing in the gap. It's a sacrifice. Preacher, I mean, I didn't plan on this. But the truth of the matter is, in the gap, it's always a sacrifice. Nobody just said, "Hey, my goal in life is to stand in the gap." You know, Dad, you had visions of all these great things about fatherhood, but you never really thought about the fact that, hey, I'm standing in the gap, and you better stand in the gap for your kids. You better start making some good decisions for your children, because the devil, the wolf, the lion, he's after your children. And it's time for men to understand that, hey, we may have to make some sacrifices in the gap. We may have to make some major sacrifices, because we are the only defense for the sheep that are our children. It's not always fun in the gap. Not always fun. You know, I remember our church in Bern, Indiana, because we had Bible school during the day. It amazed me how many men took that week. That was their week of vacation. Now, I never asked them to do that. They just did that. That's amazing to me. We have folks here that take this week as their week of vacation. Yeah. Well, preacher, you know, I mean, that's wonderful and that's good, but hey, somebody has to. As Ezekiel says, I sought for somebody. Somebody's got to do it. It's a sacrifice. By the way, Jesus, when he says, I am the door, what's he talking about? He's in the gap. Are you listening? He's talking about the sheep. He's talking about the sheepfold. And he says, I'm the door. I am the door. He stood in the gap. And he died on the cross. And the only way in is through him. Amen. He stood in the gap for our salvation. Can't we stand in the gap for someone else? Sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Being on the bus ministry, it's a sacrifice. Working nursery is a sacrifice. Teaching Sunday school is a sacrifice. Being involved in RU is an every Friday night sacrifice. Being in the prison ministry is a sacrifice. Brother Johns preaches some Sundays five times. Sometimes more than that when he has to substitute. It's a sacrifice to stand in the gap. But see, people are counting on that hedge. Well, couldn't we just put a piece of furniture there? Maybe we could just put something else there. No. God says a man has to be there. A man who's willing to sacrifice. Stand. S, sacrifice. T, trust. By the way, in order to stand, that's not for some shallow Christian. That's for somebody who knows how to trust God. When you stand in the gap, you better have a good walk with Jesus, because the wolf is coming after you. Huh? You better be ready, because the lion is going to roar where you stand. The storm is going to rage and you're there. Standing in the gap is a place where you better trust. I previewed the video several times, and every time it came to Joseph. See, one of the most amazing things about the whole Christmas story is Joseph. And we miss it. I mean, you know, the Catholics want to worship Mary. I'm almost leaning toward, I think we ought to worship Joseph. Now, I don't think we ought to worship either one of them, but I'm just saying, I'm amazed at Joseph. You said, I've never really thought about it too much. You ought to think about it. There's a man who trusted. He had to trust God totally. You know, we're not going to get into detail, but you put yourself in his place. And you say, well, bless God, that'd be so easy. That would not be so easy. But he trusted the Lord. Mary had to trust the Lord too. They both did. And they stood in the gap. Thank God. Trust. That's, you know, to stand in the gap, to be a bus worker, to be a soul winner, you got to trust the Lord. Trust. You say, well, I just don't think that's your problem. You just need to trust God. You know, we ought to have more men lining up to say, hey, I want to drive a bus. What do I do? I mean, we ought to have more folks who say, okay, you know, I'd like to serve in this or do this or do this, but I know there's some qualifications. What do I need to do? It's just a matter of, hey, trust God, because somebody's got to stand in the gap. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's our biggest problem, really. We just lean. Well, here's the way I see it. You don't need to see it. What you need to do is trust. If God says do it, do it. Trust. So important in standing. Because I'm going to tell you, you're standing there and you come to the letter A in the word stand, and that is alone. Many, many times. You folks that stand at work, you find yourself alone. Often, you're alone. Examples? the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times was he alone? The Bible says when he was led off to be crucified, the disciples forsook him and fled, leaving him alone. David was alone when he fought Goliath. Moses was alone when he went against Pharaoh. Stephen was alone when he was stoned to death. Paul was often alone when he was persecuted. And as you stand in that gap, he said, I sought for a man. Not a group. Sometimes you find yourself alone. Some of our young people go to public schools and they have to stand alone. No one else around us is standing. They have to stand alone. Could you stand in the gap for them? They're standing alone. Could you stand in the gap for them? Alone. Boy, being a pastor as long as I have, I've watched so many people who have been willing to stand alone. It's a tough place there in the gap. Tough place with Satan and his attack and those that would destroy the sheep inside. It's a tough place. And you stand alone. And then the end in the letter stand, or in the word stand, is the word narrow. Because the gap is a narrow place. And it is the only way in. Just like our salvation is narrow, understand the Christian life is a narrow life. It's not popular. The rest of the world and Satan has sold us on the idea that, hey, it's a broad way to heaven. When the Scripture is very clear that it's a narrow way. Jesus said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. And I got news for you. The way of life of Christianity is a very narrow way as well. It's not broad like the Burger King churches are telling us. It's not have a go-go dance up on the platform to get a crowd in like they're telling us. It's not go away from preaching and altar calls because people don't like that. People don't like all the negative. It isn't like that. Hey, if Jesus preached, I promise you, he would preach on the thou shalt nots. It's a narrow place, that gap. And it has to be narrow because there are many wolves in sheep's clothing trying to get in, and we need to look at every one of them. You have too broad of a way and too wide of a gap, and that person standing in the gap can't really tell. He's got to stop and analyze every wolf in sheep's clothing. And I've got news for you. There's a whole bunch of them on your internet. And you better be careful, mom and dad. Sir, it's time for you to stand in the gap for your daughter. Time for you to stand in the gap. I'm talking about a narrow gap, and you better narrow it down because the wolves are out there. And they can look just as good as possible. The Bible says the devil himself is like an angel of light. One reason why, and for vacation Bible schools for years now, and I'm going to guess clear back 20 years ago even, the devil at vacation Bible school never looks like a devil. You know why? Because he doesn't look like a devil. He never looks like a devil. He comes like an angel of light. You better understand. You know, Pastor Rogers, you're narrow-minded. That's because the gap's narrow. That's because I want to analyze every sheep out there to make sure it really is a sheep and not a wolf. Yeah, because I promise you, the attack is becoming relentless on our children. We need to stand in the gap. And it's a narrow place. You know, there's only one way in. This idea of the gray area and stuff. No. Black and white. Amen. It is black and white. Right. I like old Shema, one of David's mighty men. And he was assigned to guard the garden. Don't you love that? And the Philistines came and he said, this is God's garden. And they said, well, you know, couldn't we just maybe have some of the tomatoes, maybe a little bit of the corn? Maybe we could have some of the... He said, you're not taking not nary a leaf off of one of the plants. You're not even going to get close enough to the garden that is God's garden, because I'm going to stop you. And he stood in the gap to protect the garden of God. Are you listening? So I just don't see how important is a garden. You know, if I work nursery, no, how important is a garden? Well, the 4 and 5 year, yeah, and how important is a tomato? And if he would fight and be willing to die for the garden, aren't we willing to stand in the gap for the children, for our teenagers, for the people in Adrian and Lenawee County? It's narrow. It's a narrow place. Families under attack. It's time we stand in the gap. It's time, folks, you be careful about that television set. You would not allow adultery to take place in your home, but you let kids watch it. You wouldn't allow a homosexual to stand on your lawn and proclaim all that they believe and all that they do and even to demonstrate it, but you let your kids watch it. You wouldn't let people stand in your on your property and cuss and swear at your children, but you let somebody on a television do it. You wouldn't allow the secular humanist to stand up and spew out their garbage, but you're letting your kids hear it on television and in the public schools. You certainly wouldn't allow a Satan worshiper to come to your home and proclaim their junk, but you let your kids listen to rock music. You wouldn't allow a drug pusher in your home, but you let your kids listen to rock music. It's time we stand. You wouldn't allow sexual perverts to come in your home and start talking to your kids, but you let your kids chat with anybody on the internet. And you don't know who they are. See, what you've done is you've stood in the gap, but you made it a real wide area. And you're just letting anything and everything in. Now, you'll stand against that obvious thing, but I got news for you. The devil's got all that figured out. And he's figured out ways that he's not so obvious. Standing in the gap. What's the most important thing to you? You wouldn't let your kids go outside in their underwear. But if it has flowers on it, it's okay. Mommy, can I wear my underwear outside? Oh, we're Christian. Can I wear my bathing suit? Of course, honey, it's hot. And we're not smart. I know it's not popular, but the gap's not. It's a narrow place we're talking about. It's a narrow place. And we've dropped our guard on a lot of things. That's why I preached a couple weeks ago about the dress and the clothes of some of the girls in our church. And Dad, it's time for you to stand in the gap and check it out. You just don't want to fight with your wife over it. Be a man. I know. I understand. I got it all. Dad, honey, is it all right? Yes, of course. No, not yes, of course. Check it out, Dad. Check it out. Stand in the gap. It's a narrow place. It's not popular. It's not fun. But you need to stand in the gap because the devil is after our kids. S-T-A-N-D is diligence, because I got news for you. Standing in the gap requires diligence. It really does. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 23. And I covered this in the book of Proverbs when we were talking about our people of Proverbs. Proverbs 27, 23, but I like this verse. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. I love that in reference to diligence. Be diligent to know. You need to know the state of thy flocks. Okay, if I'm going to stand in the gap, I better know how the flock's doing. Don't ignore the flock if you're standing in the gap. Know the flock. That's why the Bible says, in reference to a husband and wife, the Bible says for the husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. What's he mean? Know her. Know what makes her tick. Now, I didn't say understand her, because you never will. But know. Know what she likes. Know what she needs. Know her. You know, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's how you protect her, your wife, sir. You guys that go home and spread all the negative that you're getting at work, how you're going to be laid off, and you have been going to get laid off for the last 25 years, and you go home and spread that to your wonderful wife who's counting on you, who needs that security, you aren't very smart. And then you say, hey, baby, come here. And she's terrified. Have you ever thought about just kind of knowing and just keeping it and being a man? I'm a little scared, honey. What do you think we're going to do? This woman's never heard that. This woman's never heard a negative thing. I'm serious. I stand in the gap day in and day out and hear garbage and people attack and hear negative stuff, and she never hears it. I go home and she says, what happened today? And I say, oh, nothing. It was a good day. Hello? She doesn't have a clue. People come to her and say, boy, you know, your husband had a tough day. She says, really? I never would have known. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be at your work. She should have no idea. You know, I mean, if you're having a tough day and you say, I could use that right side massaged a little bit, that's okay. But you don't have to get into all the details. Oh, this guy griped and complained. This person, they're threatening to fire me, and that person's this and all this kind of stuff. Hey, know her. She doesn't need that. Let her cook the food and clean up and take care of you and love you and don't drag her into the mud hole that you live in. It's amazing. It's amazing. By the way, knowing the state of thy flocks would be your kids too. What's going on with it? You know, just yelling at them is really never going to help anything. How about sitting down and talking to them? Get in their eyes. That's what we call it. We call it, I got to get in your eyes. What's that mean? We need to talk. We need to find out what's really going on here. You know, that's standing in the gap. It's called knowing what's going on. How many, you know, there's dads all that you have no clue what's going on with your teenager. You don't have any idea because you just don't take the time. Turn off the stupid television and sit down and talk to your young person. These kids got up and gave testimonies. Wasn't that a blessing? That was so good. How about a mom and dad that go home afterwards and say, hey, let's talk about this thing a little bit more. That's so good. So needed. It's called diligence. Yeah, but preacher, I'm wearing out. They always just say nothing. They always just say, ugh. I have teenagers sit across from me and say, ugh, too. And it takes a little while to get beyond, ugh. I remember one young lady, she was as hard could be. Charlotte Ingram, remember her? And she came to church. I'll never forget, her parents were all excited about our church. She came, she wore black every time she came to church. Solid black, all the time. I mean, she had black fingernail polish. You know, I mean, this was years ago, too, back in the 70s. No, back in the 80s. Way back in the 80s. And I mean, you could see it. Not only was she wearing black, but I mean, her countenance was just... And I'd preach and say something funny, and purposely, everybody else is cracking up, and I'd look at her and she was... I'll never forget one Sunday night. In fact, we were supposed to go to St. Louis, Missouri to do something. I don't remember what it was now. We did a lot of unique things back then. And she came on a Sunday night, and she said, I need to talk to you. I said, man, this is great. Wonderful. I told the deacon that was going to go along, a couple deacons. I said, look, I'll be there in a few minutes. Just, you know, go out there, get the truck ready, whatever we're doing, and I'm going to talk to her. And we sat down. I said, so, Charlotte, go ahead, tell me what's on your mind. And she sat and stared. Pretty soon a tear came out of this eye. I said, so, Charlotte, tell me what you want to talk about. And she stared. Pretty soon a tear came out of this eye. I'll never forget as long as I... 45 minutes, we stared. And tears started streaming down her cheeks. And finally she said, preacher, I've been listening. I need to get saved. 45 minutes. sometimes that's what it takes to knock that wall down. Are you listening? Now, here was a girl that had all kinds of things and all kinds of garbage Satan had put in her life that kept her from just opening up. 45 minutes. I know you'd have missed your show, right? You'd have missed that sports program. I got news for you. That's your teenager. That's your kids. There's that kind of stuff that takes 45 minutes for her to finally get saved. By the way, that young lady's on a mission field today, serving the Lord, married to a good guy. Diligence. It's tough. Standing in the gap. We're going to have kids. I promise you, at our Vacation Bible School, because we pick up anybody and everybody, we'll have teachers get cussed out. We'll have bus workers get cussed out. You say, well, I don't think we ought to put up with that. No, I don't think you would ever put up with that. Brittany cussed a few folks out before. And here she sits tonight. We don't put up with, we don't have cussing 101 in our school or anywhere. But there's got to be somebody that's diligent that's going to just kind of stick with it. I cannot even believe anybody working with me when I was a teenager. But they did. They did. And we came in and I gave all my arguments for Jesus being a long-haired hippie. And they just smiled. Well, we're sure glad you're here. Well, don't you want to talk about Jesus being a long-haired hippie? No, we're just glad you're here. Groovy. Diligent. Standing in the gap. Takes diligence. Proverbs 22:29. I'm just about done. I know we're getting nervous. Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That's not talking about mean as in not nice. That's talking about poor or common. The whole idea is when you stand in your gap, God is going to bless you and you will stand before the king. I believe you'll hear the words, well done. It may not seem important to you. It may not seem like a big thing. And really, I don't know of any big jobs there are at Vacation Bible School. I know all of them are important to God. I know everything's important in our Sunday school. I don't know of anything that's not. I don't know of anything not important in our church. I can't imagine there being a job that doesn't matter. I can't imagine church without a nursery. I can't imagine church without somebody cleaning. I can't imagine church without somebody kind of watching over things. I can't imagine church without without Sunday school teachers and soul winners and people handing out tracts. I cannot imagine. Everything is important. Stand. Sacrifice, trust, alone, narrow, diligent. Number three is the saving. The saving. You'll notice what he says. He says, stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. It won't be destroyed. What can we expect when nobody stands in the gap? Do you understand? That's why the nation is where it is today. Because God's people have not been standing in the gap. What else should we expect? I mean, how long do you suppose God will just let us keep going the way we are? The saving. I often think the young boy would not have gotten on drugs if somebody would have stood in the gap. The little 14-year-old girl might not have got pregnant if somebody would have stood in the gap. What's going to happen if we don't stand in the gap? I hear a lot of complaining about the youth of America, but I don't see a whole lot of folks willing to stand in the gap and really make a difference in their life. I'm not talking about entertaining them. We don't need to entertain them. We need them to hear the truth. Brother Letson often comes to men's prayer time and talks of the campus where he and his wife go every Sunday and preach. They both preach to the kids there. And the kids just stare at them like they're hearing something for the very first time. They're hearing about sin, which they've committed a whole bunch of, but they're hearing it for the first time. They hear that somebody loves them, but they're hearing that for the first time. Do you understand how many kids never have heard a parent say, "I love you"? They don't have a clue. Talking to a teenager yesterday, and he said, "Oh, we said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I'm just getting away." He said, "I've been going to a counselor," and he said, "I just can't take it when my parents fight." This is somebody who has taken a knife and cut themselves many times. But he said, "I just can't take it to hear my parents fight all the time." And you know, when they get them at the campus, they've broken some kind of law. What if you would have been on a bus route? And you would have said, "Hey, we'd really love you to come to our vacation Bible school. We'd really love you to come to our Sunday school." Now, some of them have come. We just got to keep going. Stand in the gap. Number four is the sorrow. And the sorrow is the last part of the verse here. He said, "But I found none." Nobody. I often think of Ezekiel in verse 30, and I don't mean this to be unkind, and I'm not trying to be at all, but I often think of Ezekiel when I announce something 15 times, a need. I always think back to Ezekiel, "But I found none." I think it is embarrassing. This many people. And 15 times we have to announce, when to be able to serve God, what an amazing privilege it is. It just seems to me like, and it always has seemed that way, and I guess it's because I'm a pastor, it seems like there ought to be a line. What can I do? How can I serve? What do you need? You need toilets clean? I'll do it. What do you need? What an honor it is. What a blessing to be able to serve. I mean, I found none. Is what he said. And that often is the case. I used Brittany a little while ago because she's one of many. If we don't stand in the gap, if we didn't, how many have stood in the gap for Brittany all over this church? And you know what? Here's the thing. You don't know how much that means to her. I know because she calls me. She calls me a lot. Sometimes she calls me every day. But the last time she called and she was in tears, she said this to me. She said, "I want my church to be proud of me." It's an uphill battle for Brittany all the time, isn't it? I mean, it's just constant, uphill. It's a battle. You know, you say, "Well, I saw her doing..." Yeah, you might see me doing something too. But it's tougher for her than it is for me. It's tougher for her than it is for you. It's tougher for her than it is many folks. But she recognizes some people have stood in the gap. She said, "I want my church," because she knows you've been there in the gap for her. Now, you know what? There's a whole bunch of Brittany's out there. I just told her this the other day. I said, there's a whole bunch of you out there. Just like you. Little second graders that say, "I'm not going to do what you told me to do. You can't make me." Right? They're all out there. "Who you think you are? Blank." And they'll sometimes say blank just to see what you're going to do. How about this the next time instead of that? How about, "You know what? You can say all you want. I love you. And we love you. And we want to help you. Now you decide to stand in the gap for somebody. Dad, stand in the gap for your family. Stand in the gap. What a sad thing to have to say, I found none. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around.